Yeah, thank you, Tom. Yes, you're going to pray for me, remember? I had forgotten until a minute ago, too. Oh, thanks so much. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Don and his desire to say nothing but what comes from you, Lord, and is true to your word. We thank you for the time he spent in your word this week and the previous weeks leading up to this, Lord. We thank you for his openness to hearing from you and to be led by your Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
And to preach your word faithfully. Bless him, Lord. Fill him with your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up all our hearts and minds to receive what you are saying.
Yes.
Through your word, through Don, to us. We ask you to empower Don, and we ask you to open our hearts and minds. And Lord, that the words of his mouth would be pleasing to you, and the meditation of all our hearts would be pleasing to you. Yes. Jesus would be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to all of you again. And let me make a slight change in my introduction here, because our mystery music really caught my attention here, okay? This is the Sunday we had mystery music, okay? I'm not sure if it's the first, but some people might be wishing hoping it's the last. I don't know. Reminds us of the first year we were married. Jean and I lived in Burnaby. I was going to Regent College, and we were going to a church on Imperial. And I guess they must have done some changes in the sound system in the middle of the week. And I don't know much about that, but it seems that maybe they used some wiring that wasn't what they call guarded or sheathed. It didn't have protection on it. And when things would go by, it would pick up other kinds of interference, the other signals that were coming in. The pastor was not impressed. In the middle of his sermon, he picked up the taxis going by, okay? That's in the middle of the sermon. You're supposed to get serious, right? He wasn't a happy camper, okay? Anyway, so far I haven't had any surprises like that. Well, the musical, that was kind of a bit of an interlude. Okay, so we're okay with that. But it is my privilege to preach God's word today. And I concur with what Tom said. My aim is to attempt to preach God's word and make it faithful to what Christ is trying to say to us. So our goal today is to explore a fundamental question that Jesus was asking his followers back in his day. And interestingly, it's the same question that Jesus asks each of us today. Oh yes, my wife just gave me the eye. And you know what that means when your wife gives you the eye? That means that you're missing something. And you know what I missed, right? Mentioning about our new grandson. Little. I'm thinking, well, what's wrong with me? I mean, I look like I'm okay. We were mentioning back there with the Grevins, 37 years of ministry, I said, if it wouldn't have been for my wife, after 3 months, I would have fallen flat on my face. And I say that honestly. Okay. Anyway, little Finley Thomas was born 18 days ago. Okay, in Nelson. And we're thankful for his arrival. That's where we were. Okay, so getting back to the message now. Okay. That was just another brief interlude. That was the baby interlude. We had the musical interlude, the baby interlude. Okay, now we can maybe just really get into this message now. Oh, and I want to apologize for Jen, her delightful flowers back there. they're hidden by all of this paraphernalia. Okay, so my apologies, Jen. Okay. The same question that Jesus confronted his listeners in his day, he asks us today. The question is, how solid is the foundation of your life? You're thinking, man, that sounds pretty heavy duty, Pastor. Or you might be saying to yourself, that sounds totally boring and irrelevant. I'm tuning this guy out. Well, hang on. I'll do my best to try to make it come alive, okay? So try to play ball with me here. Our scripture today is found in Matthew chapter 7. Many of you have Bibles. I'm going to ask if you'd open them right there, and you're going to follow along from time to time with me, Matthew 7. But before I do that, one small explanation. If you have a New International Version the way I do, many of the paragraphs have a heading, okay? This paragraph, Matthew 7, starting at verse 24, has the heading, "The Wise and Foolish Builders." Well, that's what it is in your Bible, but in my Bible, I've crossed it out. And you know what? I'm allowed to do that because it's not part of the original text, okay? That was an editorial comment put in there, and it's rightly so. But I've chosen to call it instead the parable of the sandcastle. That's what I'm calling this paragraph. And I'll explain to you why. It has a lot to do with sand, both in Jesus' teaching and last week in my life. Okay? Sand. I understand a couple weeks ago you talked about barnacles, Tom. Well, we go from barnacles to sand now, okay? So it's in the same realm, okay? We're on the beach. And this is a Sunshine Coast. So where else should we be? This is where we need to be, on the beach. This is why we live here, because we love the salt water and the tides. So, with that, let's read our passage. Matthew 7, starting at verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who put his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So the central truth that I see Jesus trying to get across to his hearers, whether they were 2,000 years ago or today, the central truth being emphasized is that every person in this room is building their life on some kind of a foundation. It may be a solid foundation, or it may be kind of spongy and soft, okay? But you this morning have a foundation upon which you're building. Now, foundations are interesting, you know? They don't just happen. Some things in life do happen, like the dandelions that pop up in your lawn. They just somehow happen. They're there. Foundations are not like that. They don't happen by accident. They happen as a result of deliberate, direct choice. That's how foundations happen. So, going back to this parable, Jesus is warning us to understand that the wise man is in fact wise because he made the choice to build his house on a solid rock. Jesus says that's what makes him wise. So, here we are. It's just a modest little bungalow built on the rock. And you can see the foundations. They're pretty substantial. He had to dig down and put in the footings and all this kind of stuff. You guys who are contractors, you know all about that stuff. Takes a lot of time and a fair bit of expense, but in the long run, it pays dividends. Okay, foundation, keep that in mind. So the equivalent here is, the equivalent, spiritual equivalent, or the parallel, is that listening to and accepting Jesus' words and incorporating them into our lives and making him the center of our life, that is the equivalent to building upon the rock. Okay. So what Jesus is saying, in effect, is that if you're building your life on anything else, it's going to be shaky. And this is why he opens the here, and he says here, he says, therefore. Now that word therefore always tells us that we should be looking back, reflecting on what he has said previously. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts my words into practice is a wise person building on a rock. Which means what? Which means any person who is building on any other philosophy, religion, following some a guru, building on anything else except the name of Jesus Christ, you're not building on a rock. You're building on something that's going to be spongy and unstable. Okay? So just you're aware of that, Jesus says. And he, see, back in this previous paragraphs here, he brings several scathing attacks against the people of his day. The populace, the religious leaders, the high priests. Everybody was coming across like they were so prim and proper and spiritual and religious. Jesus didn't deny that. But he said, in effect, you know what? You guys all talk the talk, but nobody actually walks the walk. And that was true. It's time you put me at the center of your life, Jesus says, and start listening to my teachings and then putting them into practice. That's what a wise person does. Anybody else, any other philosophy, any other beliefs? No, that's just building on sand. Now, sometimes at the beginning, this sand thing looks pretty attractive. You might think, like, well, I think the house built on sand is a better house than the house that's built on the rock. And you know what? You might be right at first. Now, remember, I said I was going to make this story come alive, right? Okay. So we're kind of reading between the lines here a little bit. Okay. So this fellow here, he didn't think he was too foolish, okay? He thought he was pretty smart. He moved into a neighborhood where they only had sand. He just put his house, plunked it right on the sand, and he thought, you know, I'm going to save the money from all these expensive foundations, and I'm going to put it into curb appeal. I'm going to glitz my house up, fancy windows. I even put a little garage over here with a little bit of a room up here. And what he really liked, you see, he had somehow was thinking of this parable ahead of time about the rain coming. He thought, I'm going to put on a 50-year guaranteed shingles on my roof. That's what this is all about. So all the extra money from not putting the foundation in, spend it on everything else. And I've got the house with the best curb appeal in town. And you know, he probably did. Now, I can say, on a personal note, that this fellow did not and would not build in the neighborhood where Gene and I presently have our house, on Eagle Crest. When we built there 20 years ago, the excavator came in, he went like that, pulled off 6 inches of topsoil, and then proceeded to hit hard pan. Several days later, after he'd gone through, you know, how he's scraping every little thing, like inch by inch, scraping down to get down to the proper footings and the foundation. Very expensive, time-consuming. 5 feet later, we finally had our basement dug. He wouldn't have been there. He wants sand. Now, we've seen sand too. Before we came to Gibson's, we lived in Powell River. And we bought a little what we call fixer-upper. A house that was 80 years old at that time, built in 1912. Now that's when the Titanic sunk, is that right? Okay. And the house was beginning to sink also. Okay. It was put in the townsite area, up by the mill. The whole neighborhood is just sand. That's all it is, just sand. Maybe it was up from the ocean, maybe it was a glacial deposit, we don't know. But this foundation up there was really, really easy. All they did, cleared off the twigs, the trees, and then just had, the wood was everywhere. You know, these big trees we have, big Douglas fir trees, you see the stumps? They were everywhere. They just got big blocks, and they went plunk, 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 and that was the foundation, and then just built on it. When I came along 20 years later, half those blocks were half rotted out, particularly the cores. Some of them had a big core in it, and you could stick your hand right through it. The cores were rotted out. And one side in particular, it was like that. You put a marble would go across the floor. So the next few weeks, under the careful watch of the building inspector, I had to jack the house up. Now let's see now. Okay, there's level and the sides and get them all shimmed up and then put in footings and cement walls and perimeter drains. Well, you got the picture. Again, it's, you know, sometimes foundations are not always cheap, but they're worthwhile and necessary. All I can say is that as of today, so for any of you who are wondering, does this guy up here know anything about foundations? Yeah, I do. I know a fair bit about them. I'm just thankful that today our house is not built on sand, okay? We'll just leave it at that. Now, the reason that I'm even talking today about sand is because this message was inspired, literally, when Jean and I took the three grandchildren who were at church here last Sunday, Lucy, Avery, and Tobin, and took them down for the fourth year. Well, not Tobin, he's only four, so he wasn't even around then. For the fourth year down to the sandbar at the bottom of Flume Road. Any of you familiar with that? It's a great little sandbar. There was, I won't say there was dozens of people. It probably was like four or five, six families down there on this little sandbar. We had our little area over here. And we made the biggest, the highest, the widest, the strongest sandcastle that we have ever made in 4 years. It was virtually immovable. Well, sort of, until the tide began to come in. Ah, you caught that. These little waves started licking. And I noticed they're licking at the bottom of the foundation. Remember, the sandcastle on Flume Road is not built on rock. It's built on sand. The whole thing is sand. And so I mentioned to Lucy, the older girl who's 10, who likes science. English and that, well, but she loves science. She might end up being an engineer or maybe an architect. I said, Lucy, are you watching what's happening here? No. Well, watch. What's this process called where the water comes in and sucks the sand out? Do you know what it's called? It's called undermining. Oh, it goes in there and it undermines and it pulls it out from underneath. Oh. Now, I said, now watch this over here. This wall was long and it was high and it was, I took my, these are just a few, a things we took, but I had a big garden shovel, okay, and I was smacking that thing, so it was tough. One kid tried jumping on it. I said, don't do that. Well, it didn't do much good anyway. It still was there. He didn't do much to it. That's how tough it was. But the little waves licking away. I said, you know what's happening? It's being undermined. And before long, we had all kinds of other people over there watching us. We were making a big to-do about this. And it was pretty exciting. I said, now what? Oh, Grandpa, look at that. Yeah, I know. That's being undermined. Because it's not built on rock, it's built on sand. Can you see a spiritual picture developing here? Well, we got home that night after supper and had dessert. I got out the Bible and I read the same passage to them that I read to you. And I said, see right here? It's called, the paragraph heading is, the wise and foolish virgins. Not the wise and foolish, there were five. Wise and foolish virgins too. This was about the wise and the foolish builders, okay? There was that parable too. And so I took my pen right there, and if you look at my Bible, you see it, I just crossed it out. Because again, it's just an editorial comment by people. It wasn't in the original, okay? Allow me that liberty. And I said to the girls, I'm not sure whether Tobin remembered, the girls will. I said, you know what? We are going to rename this after our trip to Flume Beach. We are now renaming this parable the parable of the sandcastle. They will never forget that. They will never forget that. This is a teachable moment that will go down should Christ tarry, and I will remember this, and they will remember this, and I'll be able to say to them, should the Lord allow it in future years, as they make decisions in life, are you building on sand right now? Or are you building on a rock right now? It's your choice. What are you doing? Thank the Lord for that opportunity. Well, we need to finish up here by talking about the second major element in this parable, which is the storm. Jesus talked here about, he says, the rain, the streams, and the wind. So I believe Jesus is talking about these things because they're intended to be representative of a variety of storms that can come into our lives. What will they look like? Who knows? All kinds of storms, they come. I remember 28 years ago, we had a knock at the door, and I'd better sit down because I'm very likely to get choked up here. Okay? Ever had a knock at the door? The point is that you have to have your foundation in place before the storm strikes. You don't go to the insurance office and ask them for fire insurance after the fire has burned the house down. You have to have it in place before the storm comes. Thank God that 28 years ago, when that knock came on the door, our lives were committed to Christ, and we had committed our children to Christ. Our two sons had gone to the grocery store a couple weeks away. This is in Abbotsford, a couple blocks away. Unbeknownst to us, we thought, where is Paul? That's the dad to these three kids that were here last Sunday. He was 10. Where's Paul? He's been gone a long time to the store, the little corner grocery store. At the same time, unbeknownst to us, it didn't register, but we heard all of these sirens going off everywhere. It sounded like all hell was broken loose. There were sirens everywhere. Jean got the door. A little boy said, I think your boy's been hit by a car. And he had been. He'd been thrown literally like a rag doll down the highway. Most of the impact was on his leg. It was broken. We were worried about his head. That took the most of the concussion. We had no doubts he was going to live, but we had real concerns, to use the expression, whether he was going to spend the rest of his life as a vegetable. Okay? That was a possibility. The moral of the story is you have to have your foundation in place before the storm strikes. That's so important. And if there's anybody here this morning and you don't have a strong foundation of Jesus Christ under your life, I encourage you to do that. You don't wait until the storm strikes and then start looking around for a foundation, because it just doesn't happen. And so we're told the storm came and beat against both houses, and the storm that's built on the rock. You know, Jesus hasn't promised us that we'll never have storms. He doesn't promise it. I know sometimes you talk to people who are Christians and they'll try to encourage you to become a Christian by saying, well, you know what, if you become a Christian, you'll never have another problem. Well, that's kind of false advertising. Jesus never says you'll never have another problem. But you'll have someone that will walk with you and be a tower and a fortress and a refuge for you. Someone who'll be with you. So this picture here is the morning after. Thank God we can smile in the grace that the Lord gives us after the storm is over, because we have a foundation. But you know, many of the parables have two sides, two opposites. Not all, but many of them do. This is one of them. We have the wise man and we have the man who's not so wise. And the man who's built his house upon, well, on the sand. Unfortunately, in spite of all of the curb appeal and all the fancy window covers and the shingles and everything else, when the storm hit, it really didn't help very much. Okay. In fact, Jesus says, I'm actually right now, I'm kind of playing it down, okay? I'm trying to be Mr. Nice Guy a little bit, you know, rather than really rubbing it in and saying, you know, that guy was a real jerk, you know? Jesus said the whole thing fell with a great crash, which means it was an absolute disaster. And we don't want to rub that in, but you know, we need to make the right choices and decisions in life because we want to avoid those things. So I'm going to ask the musicians if they'd come back and play the next song as we prepare for, yeah, right now. Yep, the musicians. So, we need to build our life upon Jesus Christ before the storm hits. That's what's important. Not to wait, but to do it now. And anything less, as Jesus said, now these are his words, and also the words of the Apostle Paul, John, and Peter. They said in those sermons in the first books of Acts, first chapters of Acts, there is no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. There are lots of spiritual and religious and philosophical names and beliefs that are floating around. The world is full of them. And the world wants us to follow them. But Jesus says, no, I and I alone am the strong foundation. Put your trust in me and put me at the center of your life. Thank you.
Would you just join me, stand, and as we prepare our hearts for communion, and we'll sing this song. Thank you.
Despised, you were rejected, Lord, those who pass by, even averted their gaze from the sight. Such was the suffering you bore.
Seated.